see what you can find. You Can't Make It Up, show number 254 for just another Bipolar Monday, August 26, 2013. Mungo Jerry, the quintessential one-hit wonder with a tune that peaked at number 3, according to Billboard, way back on September 12, 1970. My compadre here is, I don't know where he is. And not sure where your summer slipped off to. I hope yours has involved some much-deserved R&R. We've been trying to do the same, but, well, you know, comedy is hard work, and this show doesn't write itself. Oh, wait. I guess it does. This is You Can't Make It Up. We do this every Monday because mankind's capacity for stupidity is limitless, and we feel a need to point that out. At your own expense, perhaps. This show originates at 2, the number 2, kenscomedy.com. You can email us at feedback@2kenscomedy.com. Where's the other Ken, you're asking? Well, he has taken leave of his census, I guess. He's off dreaming up ways to probably get out of his contract. So you have the other Ken here stuck holding your hand as we continue strolling down memory lane. We have been counting down your top 8 fan favorites this summer since we started our weekly podcast sojourn nearly 5 years ago. Oh, has it been that long? It has. So here it is. The number 1 most popular episode of the now 254 we've done. This one aired on June 8th, 2009, and it starred, drum roll please, Penguins, the Green Police, an Arkansas prison that couldn't figure out how the inmates were getting out, and a topless donut shop that, in the end, was too hot to survive. And so, here's the You Can't Make It Up episode you made your all-time favorite. Show number 27, simply called Happy Feet. We'll see you in September. Where have all the penguins gone?
These scientists from the British Antarctica Survey were looking at satellite images of their bases there. What they saw, though, were some reddish-brown streaks on the ice where they knew, or thought they knew, that a penguin colony was. Mm-hmm. Now, that stain was, you guessed it.
It's show number 27 of You Can't Make It Up.
Going to the dance and I can't be led. T-Bug's doing 88. Girls on the left and boys on the right. Ain't going home, gonna dance all night. Gonna dance all night. Yeah, we ain't going home.
Got those penny loafers and the shirt sleeves all rolled up with the cigarettes in the sleeve there. How you doing, Ken?
Oh, boy, you're going way back now, aren't you?
We are. That's the Hot Rod Hop. The group is the Hot Rods. They're out of L.A., California. And it brings you back to the days of Elvis and Jerry Lee and Fats Domino, Buddy Holly. Mm. As always, all the music we play here at You Can't Make It Up can be found over at the Podsafe Music Network. Gonna dance all night. Well, here it is, show 27, June the 8th, and we originate at 2. That's the number 2, kenscomedy.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/2kens. I want to do a plug. Actually, this is a begathon. Ken, have you ever had Weetabix for breakfast? You ever heard of them?
No. Weetabix?
Weetabix. It is the UK's number 1 selling breakfast cereal. I suspect people over there eat them all hours of the day, because I do. Weetabix, they've got a new product out. It's called Weetabix Mini Bix Chocolate Crisp, and it's low in fat, high in fiber, 5 grams of protein per serving, and it's not really sweet. It's, you know, it's not that chocolatey. They're like mini shredded wheats, only way more fiber. The reason I'm bringing it up at all is we would love if Weetabix would sponsor our program, because I eat these things every morning now, and they are the number 1 seller in breakfast foods in the UK, and we have a number of our listeners in the UK. I mean, do the math, right?
Yes.
It's an ideal sponsor.
Well, can you buy them here, though, or no?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
You can find them in the natural food sections of most large supermarket chains, and of course all your natural food stores carry them. Weetabix, Mini Bix, Chocolate Crisp.
How do you spell that? Weetabix.
Weetabix.
Oh, T. I thought it was like you the man, we the Bix.
No, we the best. So what do you got going on this week?
Well, you know, every so often I talk about the space program because I happen to like space and all that. But one of the things that people complain about is, you know, all this money being spent in space when we have so many problems on Earth to solve. And the defense has always been of that, well, but look at all the technologies that have come out of the space program that have had great usefulness, you know, down here.
Sure.
Well, here is one I don't think they had in mind, all right? British scientists are wondering, where have all the penguins gone? Now, these are scientists who are actually stationed in Antarctica, and they cannot figure out where the colonies of emperor penguins live and where they're gone and if they're in peril. These are the penguins that you may remember were featured in that movie, March of the Penguins.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that they breed on ice, or sea ice, I guess it's called. But because of global warming, that ice is shrinking. So what's happening to them? What to do? Well, these scientists from the British Antarctica Survey were looking at satellite images of their bases there. Now, what they saw, though, were some reddish-brown streaks on the ice where they knew, or thought they knew, that a penguin colony was. Mm-hmm. Now, that stain was, you guessed it, penguin poop.
Oh, no.
Yes. So they got the great idea to track and search for penguins by looking at the stains on satellite images. Who thinks this stuff up?
I don't know.
Is this a good idea?
I think it's a great idea, actually. I'll tell you why in a bit, but go, continue.
Well, anyway, so they, using the satellite imagery and looking and tracking the brown stains, they were able to actually locate 10 new colonies of penguins, six of which apparently had moved there from another previously mapped location. Hmm. And overall, they spotted some 38 colonies of penguins. I don't know what this is all leading to, but I guess the moral of the story is that if you are ever stuck or stationed in a large, vast, cold, wintry tundra, don't eat the brown snow.
Where have all the penguins gone?
Thank you.
Yeah. Where are Peter, Paul, and Mary when you need them, huh?
Yes.
It, you know, it begs the question, why can't we start tracking people that way? Because, well, here's a, you know, this crossed my mind when this crossed my desk last week. The people who write the WinXP newsletter, the Microsoft newsletter, the editor, occasionally gets green on us. And she had this rhetorical question, I guess. What happens when conservation becomes mandatory? And, you know, just think about this a second. You know, there's a big question about there, you know, how much greenery will we be forced upon by lawmakers in the future and in what form? In many parts of the U.S., true story, power companies are installing smart meters that are touted as a way for you to have more control over your energy usage. But are they really? These are apparently also mandatory in the U.K. However, and here's the part that makes me wonder, the technology also makes it possible for the power company to remotely control your electricity usage. If they decide that you're using too much juice, they can throttle it back to acceptable levels.
Oh, there's a good idea.
Who decides, who quantifies too much and acceptable? Hey, here's the next step maybe, huh? In the UK, there's a proposal, I do not make this up, that the government conduct home energy inspections every year or two. They'll come to your house, they'll inspect just like they do your car today, and if you fail the test, you may be denied insurance on your property or not be allowed to sell it.
What?
A proposal in the UK. And, you know, it begs the question, do we have too much damn government in our lives already? Maybe?
When you ask me that question, I am going to revert to my ethnic heritage and answer your question with a question. On what planet do you spend most of your time?
Wow. So you come into your home,
inspect your electricity usage, and, yeah.
Wow. Yeah, well, you can always count on government to make wise decisions on our behalf, right?
Yep. Yeah. Hey, do we have any stupid criminal or maybe prison guard tricks to talk about today?
Let me, in all fairness, and I'm glad you asked that, because, you know, a staple of you can't make it up has been, you know, stupid criminals. But once in a while, you got to give the criminals a little credit for smarts and maybe put the onus of stupidity on either the people who are trying to arrest them or, in this case, their jailers, all right? Mm-hmm. And we take you to the lovely town of Grady, Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yep. Two convicted murderers just simply walked out of the prison during a shift change, a guard shift change. And they did so easily. And you know why?
No.
They were wearing guard uniforms. Now, it sort of begs the question, well, where did the inmates get the guard uniforms? Well, here's the deal. At that particular prison, what the inmates do is they make guard uniforms.
I love it.
That's like putting the prisoners in charge of the motor pool, you know, like just drive off.
And then take one of the license plates you made and put it on a stolen vehicle. Nobody will ever find you.
And of course, leaping right into action, it took about 3 hours, more than 3 hours, for the prison officials to actually realize that some of the prisoners were missing.
Yeah.
Sounds like maximum security to me, doesn't it?
Yep. Larry from Georgia, that wasn't Georgia, that was Arkansas.
That was Arkansas, yes.
Go back to running around your neighborhood and doing your crime watch thing. Have we heard from Larry from Georgia recently?
Not on the show, but I've heard from him recently offline, as we say in the biz.
Is he still doing his number one task of preserving and protecting his neighborhood?
He absolutely is. He's still got that orange jumpsuit, which sort of sounds like a prisoner on the loose, doesn't it?
Doesn't it? Yeah. Well, you know, we've got to do an update for you on a crime story. Well, this becomes a crime story. Remember back in February, we told you about the Grandview Coffee Shop, the one with the topless waitstaff out there in Vassalboro, Maine,
Aptly named the Grand View.
Well, one day last week, the owner of the place, Donald Crabtree, went before the Planning and Zoning Commission in Vassalboro. Now, the population there is about 6, so probably the whole town sits on that panel. But he went there, and he said he wanted a permit to turn the club into a strip joint. Later that night, early the next morning, the place burned to the ground.
Oh, no.
Yeah, the state fire marshal's office says we're definitely looking at arson here. No, you think?
Brilliant. Boy, you gotta love him.
Yeah, so there's no more. So if you're looking for a place to get a grand view while you're having your coffee and donut, you can't go to Vassalboro anymore. It's gone.
Just wondered, you know, if they lacked a sprinkler system.
Well,
maybe it just didn't have enough wet no t-shirt contest there or something.
Well, you got to ask yourself about the relative intelligence of the people who are opposed to place in the free. Do they think that burning it down is going to keep it from opening up somewhere else?
Yeah.
Anyway, Vassalboro, Maine, again, population 6, maybe 6.5. So how is it possible that they take up so much of our space this morning? Well, here's a story about a man riding a lawnmower to a beer store. Vassalboro, Maine.
Okay.
51-year-old Danforth Ross of Vassalboro was arrested last week, charged with operating under the influence for allegedly using his riding lawnmower to go to a neighborhood store to purchase beer. Now, motorists told the state trooper, Joe Chrétien, about the trip. They were actually watching the guy drive to the store. They located the mower outside the country store. He says the two men came out of the store, two cases of beer, got back on their mower. The driver was arrested. He was charged with OUI, operating under the influence, and operating, by the way, his actual real motor vehicle license had been revoked, and he was suspended. So this was his only means of transportation. When you need beer, by God.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, at least it wasn't a motorized bar stool.
No. That's out in the Midwest.
Oh, gosh.
Those are hard to find, by the way.
Yeah. Well, you know, speaking of alcohol... As we were.
Yeah.
You know how I joke about sports promotions? You know, it's handgun night at the ballpark.
Yeah.
Well, in Tennessee, it's soon going to be handgun night at the local bar because the legislature is very close to passing, if they haven't already, a bill that will allow people with gun permits to carry handguns legally into bars and restaurants that serve alcohol with no curfew restrictions. Is that a good idea?
And that's a fine idea. That's how we rid the planet of the idiots. Just let them shoot each other.
Well, I got one even better than that. It's going to be handgun day at church.
Yeah.
Somewhere in Kentucky, there's a church where the pastor is going to invite people to bring their guns to church to celebrate the 4th of July and, of course, the Second Amendment. This is the New Bethel Church, by the way, where they are welcoming, quote-unquote, responsible handgun owners, sounds like an oxymoron, to wear their firearms inside the church. Now, there's an ad for this thing saying that it's going to be patriotic music and a handgun raffle.
There you go.
Is this a good idea?
What are you going to give the choir? You're going to have to strap on those little derringers?
Well, you know, they claim they're promoting gun safety in the wake of recent church shootings. Well, don't you think bringing guns to church might cause another set of church shootings? Just a guess.
I see another constitutional amendment coming. Separation of church and brain.
There you go.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned Tennessee. I got to throw this one at you. This is from our... So this is what the heck they do on Capitol Hill, department. You know that the NBA has a... the Pro Basketball League has a minimum age requirement?
Yes.
All right. Well, a congressman from Tennessee wants the league and the players' union to get rid of the rule, and wait until you hear why. Steve Cohen, a Tennessee Democrat, says the league's four-year-old rule that requires players to be at least 19 years old and 1 year removed from their high school graduation is, quote, a vestige of slavery.
Ooh.
Steve Cohen says most of the players affected by the rule are African American, and he adds, well, no, it's not like slavery of 150 years ago, no, you think, but it's a restraint on a person's freedoms and liberties, and therefore he says it's a vestige of slavery. You know, NBA Commissioner David Stern, you know what his response was?
Oh, gosh.
Gee, I'm sorry you don't like the rule. We're thinking of extending it to age 20.
Nope. Well, you know, that just proves the point that they may have a minimum age requirement in the NBA, but apparently not a minimum IQ requirement. I don't really follow pro basketball. It's not really watchable, but I heard a great quote. They're in the finals now as we're recording this, and the Orlando Magic, they're coached by a guy named Stan Van Gundy,
mm-hmm.
and they hadn't been in the finals for a while, and he was interviewed before the series started. Well, how's it feel to be in the finals and all that? And he said, we're here because of our players, not because of the way we play. What?
I don't know. Stan?
Yeah.
Hey, you know, every now and then you see these personal ads in the newspapers that make you go, what? Well, here's a few on our way out the door from our friends in the UK and the Worldwide Words newsletter. The Adirondack Penny Saver, it's a small free weekly newspaper based in Plattsburgh, New York, advertised for, quote, someone to cut trees for senior citizen. Must be responsible, tall, but not big around. A reader wonders how many rational and well-proportioned woodsmen responded to the query. Here's a couple. They're goofy, but if you're looking for companionship, let's put it that way. Bizarre personal ads. 35-year-old doctor who wants to finally meet a woman with true inner beauty. Outward appearance not a factor. Please send x-rays.
Fine.
And my favorite, I've got issues, you've got the cure. I need lots of time on the couch. You need a sympathetic ear and board certification. Must not charge by the hour.
Okay, where do I sign?
Weetabix. Mini Bix Chocolate Crisp. Yeah, Weetabix, you bring the Weetabix. Listen, if you have a connection over there at UK Weetabix, you know what? We'll do these ads for nothing. Well, let's not get carried away.
Yeah,
but we need a sponsor. You have anything final to add here in conclusion, Your Honor?
Well, just something to think about for next week. Let me just pose the question. Why is phonetics not spelled with an F?
I don't know. Why isn't it not? Yeah. We'll both see you next time.
Going to the dance and I can't be led. T-Bug's doing 88.
You Can't Make It Up is a Penguin Pods production. Look for us at 2, 2, canscomedy.com.
Gonna dance all night. Peggy's looking like a teen.